Hi, good evening, good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to Creation Lightship Healing with Ron Amatron. It's the Healing Highway today on Monday, September 30th, 2013, and we have a great show planned for you tonight. I know everybody likes it when we energize the light being with peace energy, so if you want to head over to bbsradio.com/creationlightship. We're on station one tonight, and you can find the image of the large light being, or you can just go right over to creationlightship.com, which is Ron's website. You can find out more about Ron and his work as a healer and as a light being. There are a list of all the online healings, question and answers document for the Creation Lightship, and also a great Wikipedia and YouTube links that you can access through both our BBS homepage and through Ron's webpage. So, Ron, I'll turn it over to you. Maybe we can bring in some peace energy for everybody and welcome everybody to the show.
Hey, hi, everybody. We're here, and I'm here, and she's there. And you're somewhere, so let's energize the light beam here on your monitor screen. So bring it up. It's a little ways down on the BBS site here. Just scroll down, and here we go, bringing in peace energy for you. One, two, three, four. Wow, someone must be having something going on. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Okay, you should feel probably a little better. If you're having any situations going on, you might want to type it in the fast chat. We'll probably have callers today. So the question for the callers are, have you seen anybody weird out there that's doing robotic clearings? And also, since we gave away the robotic clearing for the people on the 8-hour conference call, and that's good if you don't know that, it's good to the end of next month. So you got a good 5 weeks or so, depending on when you got on the call, maybe 6 weeks, to have those robotic clearings. So if you feel any difference in your body, and or, you know, everybody listening should probably be definitely aware of robotic programs and people, and then also the programs that are connected to clones, that are in clones, walking around here, which could be, you know, maybe your neighbor or maybe your spouse, possibly, or your mother-in-law or somebody like that, or your bank teller or whoever is out there. If you see people and you notice that they're not looking normal or they have a routine that they do perfectly, Remember, these programs, the robotic programs, don't have much deviation to it because there's not much creativity. And so these programs won't really allow the people, if they have a robotic program, and it also will not allow the true clone. Remember, the clones are a replica of a human. So the humans got taken away, and what came in their place? These clones. So these are true clones that are here walking around, and those programs in them don't have much deviation because there's not much creativity that the aliens would like them to have. They just want to tell them what to do, do this, and that's all. Don't get creative because there's no program available quite yet to make them more creative. So remember, it's a great workforce. So the clones are a great workforce for people. And that's probably what the aliens want. Remember, humans can talk back and think for themselves, where a clone is just going to run a program, you know, get up, do his job, and go to sleep. Won't probably complain much about anything because they don't know what complaining is. So we'll see if you have seen anybody like that out there. I'm sure that if you're out and about, you're probably going to see probably 50 a day very easily. Just have to know what to look for. And some of the clones have a perfect body build. So if you happen to see somebody that maybe has, in fact, I had an email sent to me, had this muscular person with an adolescent head. So from shoulders on down, looked like a bodybuilder, the head of like about a 13-year-old. Didn't match. You know, you go, hello, you know. So, but if you happen to see anybody with a perfect body, then what are they? Uh-huh. Well, you know what they are. So I'll turn it back over to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, Ron. Thanks. That's kind of disconcerting sometimes, I know. And just like to see people like that. And a real simple example would be, I don't know if you guys do this, but I like to bring my own bags to the grocery store. And pretty much wherever I go, I try to bring like a backpack or, you know, a canvas bag. And, you know, I tell the people when I'm checking out, I have my own bags. And they, even though I've told them that, you know, 3 seconds prior, they still put everything into plastic bags. It's like they just automatically do it. And it's kind of a good example of maybe a clone or a clone with a robotic program. And then they're like, suddenly, like, they have a realization, like, oh, yeah, she told me not to do this, and they start taking it out. But they're just sort of, you know, going by whatever their programs are. So the other thing you might have noticed is, you know, if your neighbor is a clone or not, maybe you've got some robotic programs in people that are living around you that you've noticed, and you want to call in about that. Our numbers tonight are toll-free for the U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008, or you might want to try line 5, 530-413-7600. And also, I just got an email, and they have said that the volume is very low, BBS, so I don't know if that's been fixed. So let me know on the fast chat, everybody, if the volume's okay. And if not, maybe we could get some more volume for everyone. Excuse me. So yeah, someone just typed into the fast chat. They noticed a cashier that said 5 + 5 = 750. So interesting. I think what I was maybe thinking is, like, it seems to come in waves. Like, you notice it for a while, and then people seem to go back to being more human, and then it seems like there's, like, a new wave of clones and robotic programs that comes in. Because up until a couple, maybe about a week or two ago, I wasn't really noticing it as much, and then in the past week, I've been noticing it a lot more. So if anybody has anything to add to that, you can write us at clsquestions@yahoo.com, or just if it's short, you can type it in on the fast chat. I'll be checking both tonight. Ron, we do have a nice testimonial from somebody. And before that, I did want to say, I'll never forget this one thing that Ron said on one of the past broadcasts. And he said, you know, we weren't put on this planet to be a vegetable. You were put here so that your spirit could manifest, you know, through creativity, all these different creations. So if these clones are here, it probably feels a lot more difficult to do that because they're just kind of going through the motions. So that always really stuck with me, and just wondering if you feel the same way, and what we can do to sort of maybe help out these clones or these programs, getting them off people, but I don't know. Okay, so somebody wrote in about Saturday's lightship trip, and they said Saturday's trip made a significant healing to their chest trauma that came from a new death barcode that got activated 3 weeks ago. Thank you. So thanks for writing in about that. And it's always nice to know what's going on. And, all right, just to clarify, the volume on the phone line was low. The computer show is okay. So I guess if there's a way to adjust the phone volume, people are having a hard time hearing that. So BBS, if you could maybe check on that, that would be great. All right, thanks. Thanks, guys. Okay.
Yes, I did check on that. Everything's fine. The volume's coming through on our end on another phone connection today, so I'm not sure it might be their individual volume or that's on their computer.
Okay. All right, so the sound, everybody's saying, is good at on their end. So maybe it's like just that particular line, because BBS did they did check it. So hopefully that that'll work. Maybe the volume's down on the phone or something. All right. So I guess Ron, another thing that I've been noticing too is like if you're in a restaurant and you ask for something to not be on your sandwich, like you don't want cheese and it comes with cheese, the person, like your server, gets really sets off this, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, like their program kind of goes short-circuiting, like they can't figure out what to do. So that's another example. I don't know if that's been happening to people, but I don't know, Ron, has anything like that happened to you recently?
Yeah, if I ever asked for anything above and beyond the norm, it happens, you know. So I just look at them and, you know, sometimes I might get a little sassy, too, but not always, you know. It all depends what their comments are. So,
well, I find it,
that does happen. I just look at them and, you know that they're a clone because it's a dead giveaway. So you got to explain what you want, and then they may look at you like trying to connect the words because the words that you're telling them may not be in their program, and they don't understand it. Doesn't make sense, and they don't know what to do until you start describing it to them. You know, it's like, you know, when they first came here and you try to get change, they didn't know what change was. If you gave them over the amount of money, you know, I mentioned that on one of the programs. You just say hypothetically you get a bill for like $11.56. So then what you do is maybe you give them the 56 cents and a dollar bill because you want to get $5 back, and they may not even know what that is. Because that can happen. That's what happens. So anything like that happen to you?
Well, the other day I was on the train, and the conductor didn't know how to make change for a 20, and we're giving him $12, and he was, I think, we were trying to buy three tickets, and he just like couldn't give us change. Like one person wanted to buy their tickets separately, and we just had, you know, two 20s, and then someone had exact change, so he couldn't separate the tickets. He was like, oh, well, it's going to be $36 for the three of you. Oh, it's going to be $36 for the three of you. Like, he didn't. And then, you know, the one person was like, well, I don't get it. Like, he was like, just give me the 220s. Like, he didn't know how to make change for, 12 from 20. So he was, like, confused about how to give somebody back $8. And we were all just like, what? What is he talking about? But now that you just said that, Ron, I'm thinking it was probably another clone experience. Because he didn't really have any idea what he was doing. So we ended up giving him the 220s, and he gave us, you know, $4 back and went on our way. But it's kind of frustrating because at the time you're just sort of like, I can't believe this person isn't getting this, isn't getting what, you know, I'm asking them. And the funny part is, too, is a lot of times, like with the restaurant orders, it's like you're asking them to do one less step, and they can't seem to figure out how to do it. So that's usually when I'm like, oh my goodness, like, yeah, oh, it's kind of exasperating. But I guess, like, in the end, we just kind of have to have compassion for them. And
I just wonder if they happen to, like, in a store setting, or, you know, where you have employees underneath you, I just wonder if they have all those people belonging to the same cloned organization, you know? Because just think if you had a human trying to be in charge of about 50 clones. Well, that could drive you crazy. You know, what would you do if they all had stupid questions?
Yeah, or like you're trying to organize a convention or something, and you're going into a work environment where you have to, go into a situation and try to tell people what to do and they're not your normal workers. And my goodness, it must just be so hard. I think it seems to me like simple transactions anymore take a lot longer than they need to. And I think that's just because people kind of have forgotten how to think for themselves. I was talking to a woman today, and she was saying she has to get oxygen. And so she'll go to, I don't know where she picks it up, the pharmacy or the hospital, whoever gives it to her. But she said quite frequently she'll get a tank that's completely empty. So she'll go to, you know, hook it up to her machine, and it'll be already empty, but it'll be sealed as if it were new. And she mentioned it to, I guess, whoever was working there, and they said, oh, yeah, sometimes they just forget to fill the tanks. And I'm going, you know, it's not like a cheese sandwich. It's, you know, oxygen. She clearly needs this in order to breathe. And they're just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, sometimes the people just forget to fill the tanks. I'm like, you know, it's your job to sit there and do that one thing. And they can't even seem to do that. It's kind of sad, actually. So, yeah, hopefully if you're in that situation, you haven't had too many encounters with clones or robotic programs. But I think for a lot of people, it can be quite frustrating. So there is that robotic clearing that Ron has put up for everybody that was on last month's intensives. So if anybody has tried that and you want to call in and share what your experience was, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you because I know a lot of... Oh, Ron, I think we have a caller. Hi, you're live on the air with Ron.
Hi, I'm Larry. How are you doing today?
Good, Larry. How you doing?
Great. So I had two experiences I'd like to share with you and Ron. And the first experience is I had to pick up a telephone book today, and there's this lady who's in charge of this group where I live, and I went into the office, and I had to talk to her for a minute. And then when I did, I sat down to talk to her. I got the telephone book, and I looked at her, and she had a church affiliation, and she had an octopus on her head, and she had dark, dark energies in her chest and stomach area, very, very dark. And when I saw how she was, I just got up real quickly, and I got out real as gracefully as I could, but as quickly as I could, because it was really like a harrowing experience I had. And I saw her clone body, too. Yeah, she had a clone body with messages and all that, too. But then I had another experience, too. I had to go to court with a neighbor next door, and she tells the judge that the problem is not her tree 2 yards away from the driveway. That's cracking up my driveway with the roots burrowing in underneath. But the problem is the trees in the back of my mobile home where they were cut down and destroyed and died a couple of years ago. That was the problem, where those roots were secretly coming in, cracking up the driveway. And I'm wondering, was that also a clone message that she was giving out?
Well, it's interesting that that would happen. She probably didn't know the difference, you know.
Uh-huh.
Remember, she probably has limited, you know, limited, you know, conscious, you know, memory, or maybe just a limited common sense. Remember, common sense isn't common. So maybe she saw something that happened a long time ago and is blaming it on your tree, you know. That's what I would say, not knowing the difference. Just curious, has she lived there for a long time?
Yes, she has. She's been living there. I've been here for about 5 years now, and she's been a neighbor and a distant neighbor. And, yes, she's always been angry at people. She never would accept people and responsibilities, but she's always refuses responsibilities with people. And she's always angry with people. And she doesn't comprehend how to understand messages with one another.
Yeah, I think that's like, I think, Larry, that a lot of the times it seems to me, I don't know if this is your experience, but clones are really bad at communicating. Like, they can't really hold too much of a conversation, and they're they're not really open to, well, I guess it's not a question of not being open. It's just like they haven't been programmed to kind of understand and think for themselves. So it's really hard to get your point across or even, like, have a civil conversation with them because it's very frustrating.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sure is. You get nowhere quick because they don't comprehend common sense, and it's just you're going around the bush with them all the time, and there's no use in talking to them at all because you won't get any satisfaction from that. But then it's interesting, but I can see where that could be. You know, that she has problems. She has high blood pressure, and she's on medication, but it could be a lot of cologne activity going on there, too. I'm not sure, but the messages that she's given out is really way beyond normal comprehension. It's way out and on the deep end. And I guess that's all I can say about that.
So, it could have taken over. So thank you for calling. And that's
okay,
quite interesting.
You.
Yeah, that's the way clones behave. And I was just thinking, years ago when they changed the cars over from having, say, carburetors into, like, fuel injection, that was one of the big things, you know. And some of the older mechanics just couldn't figure out how to work with the newer cars. So they, you know, also they couldn't do it, so they got a different job. Maybe people back then were also programmed for that certain mindset, and they couldn't readjust to something new. So anyway, now you probably won't know about that, you know, unless you're older. And people may not even know what a carburetor is. If they're younger, they'll just know about fuel injection, you know. So I guess back to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Larry. Definitely sounds like something's up there with your neighbor and clone. So thanks for your call. We appreciate it. And I just got a email from somebody, and this is interesting because I was talking about the grocery bags earlier. So this person says, as a cashier for a large organic grocer, we are programmed as part of our job to promote reusable bags and take donations. There's very little acceptance from the management to do anything else. That's interesting. It's like the opposite of what I was saying. But I guess, yeah, that could be a cloned program too. Okay, and she goes on to say that everything is scripted so that it falls in line with the corporate identity. Plus, all of our speed is tracked in many ways through the computer system we use, and we are always on camera. That's interesting. How can we not be robotic while we work? And then they say, thank you for everything you do. So, yeah, that's I never thought about the cameras that way, Ron, but it does seem like they're part of some program because, I mean, they run on programs and there's, video feeds going into wherever they go. I mean, who knows and who's watching? And sometimes I wonder if anybody really is even watching them, but it seems like they are. So interesting. Interesting way to think about surveillance cameras and pretty much everywhere now. So we can't really go anywhere or do anything without being recorded. So thanks for writing that in. Ron, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, as I show people that little spy ball, that like a golf ball, at the expo to people sometimes that is used to eavesdrop on people. So that's interesting. I'd bring it in and let you guys experience that, but it might freak some of you out to know that they can put an invisible golf ball in your room with, I'm thinking that it has probably more like about 48 lenses on it with microphones or a microphone or something, and they can just float it into your room. You can't see it, and they can watch you and listen to you. And this is the newer technologies that may not be on the surface here, but it definitely is in the underground. So the old model, like I talked about, was the size of a softball. did the same thing, but the new one is a little more advanced and smaller. Remember, as they make things, they somehow like to make things smaller. Don't know why, but that's what they do. So I think we got a beep. Is there another caller online?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. So I don't know. I don't want to change the topic at all, but I had a question about minders.
Okay.
That's something that I know was covered in an earlier, show. But can you remind us some more about, how to identify a minder? If this person is...
A clone replica person?
Is a clone replica... Okay, but I mean, someone who's, watching you. Do you know someone who's monitoring you, a minder, someone who's watching you? You just think that this person is...
Oh, I had one person watching me, oddly enough. I was sitting down having an Orange Julius, and I was on my conference call at a shopping mall. This is one of my weekly calls. And this person was probably about, I'd say 80 feet away probably. And oddly enough, he had a skateboard, and it was fairly warm outside. I'd say it's probably, 95 to 100. And, he had a coat on, a long sleeve coat,
mm-hmm.
and he was wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his cell phone kind of in his hand, but his face was always looking at me. Now, very possibly he held his head up, and you know how somebody looks at you. If they're looking at you, that far away, you actually move your neck up to look at them typically.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
yeah.
looking at, reading a newspaper or looking at your cell phone in front of you on the table. So, anyway, he was doing that for about an hour. And so I was watching that. And then I had some other people mention that this same style of person was also kind of involved in their life, the same colored skin and same type of skateboard and similar tennis shoes on, okay? So, yeah, there are different groups that tend to come about and look at things or check people out. And they probably don't even know it. They could have a shapeshifter in their body. So you kind of just got to watch your people to see if they're kind of like eavesdropping on you or checking you out. I'll tell you my story at the expo. I did this before, one of the shows, but we're in Los Angeles, and I would say probably this is maybe two to three years ago. And I'm at the Conscious Life Expo, and we have our booth there. And I think we're in the third row, I believe, because the booth was 308. And on the other side of us going toward the wall was the 200 booths and the 100 booths. So naturally, we get these, I don't know if I can call it government spies or people, agencies, et cetera, from different ABC agencies sometimes coming around to check me out. Or they just could be the underground looking or clones or whatever, trying to see what we're doing. Because what I do is kind of unusual. And so they're sent to spy on me, to see what I'm doing, to check me out. So I'm doing something, and I come back to the booth, and Angelique says, "Hey, we just had a guy come here." And they always come when I'm not there. So we look down the aisle, and we're kind of like in the center. So we look down on our left, and so I asked Angelique to show me the guy. And we look, and he's just turning to the right to go around the corner. So now I'm on hot pursuit, and Angelique's with me. And we have one of the, some people with us, watching the booth. So we take off. I want to look at this guy, right, check his eyes out, see who he is, who he's working for. I can download that information instantly. So he kind of vanishes. So now we see him, and we're getting closer, and we see him coming to the first row, and he's getting near the far end. And I'd say the rows are probably, I don't know, I'll just say 80 feet in length or something. And so we're probably about, he's now going past us at like the 60-foot mark, and we got about two more booths to come to. So we get about halfway, and he's now turning the corner, right, because he knows that we're on to him. And then he disappears, okay? So we get about halfway, and all of a sudden, out of the ceiling comes about 50 gallons of water out of nowhere, okay? It dumps down in front of us in the aisle. All the vendors there at the booths are not going, oh, geez, you know, they're having a cow because they got to now move all their stuff, and this water just flying down everywhere. And that was a distraction. They probably popped in a timeline to drop water in. So that was one of my experiences. Another one I'll talk about, Watcher. Now we're in, let's see. You might be also talking about maybe an alien handler, but I'll go into that in a little bit here. New York, and I'm talking to this couple, and I was talking about clones and people on timelines coming forward from past timelines doing research and stuff. So lo and behold, a guy's leaning against the wall, dressed in like 1950 clothing or something. He looked really out of place. And if you are in New York, if you don't look like, you normally always fit in, because people, I think, are more conscious there on how they're dressing, you know. So all of a sudden, we look over, and the guy has a little notepad, and he's writing stuff down, kind of like trying to eavesdrop to what I'm saying, you know. And he's probably 15 feet away, leaning against the wall. And so I point to the guy, you know, I put my back to him, and I point to him. I go, well, here's what we're talking about here. This is one of the clones that got dropped in from the basement, trying to get some intel. So sure enough, after I say that, you know, I'm talking to him, and there's two women and a man, right? The person comes over, and he goes, can I have your name and phone number? I'm just doing some research or something. The man looks at me, and the women look at me, and they look at him. And so he says, sure. So he gave him some kind of fictitious phone numbers, you know, and name. And then he goes to the booth, and I wanted to go over and see, who he was, because now he's in front of our booth. I'm like a booth away, basically. And I get about halfway there, and sure enough, they activate someone else, who's probably maybe a newer style clone, to come up to me to distract me, to ask me some questions. So I answered his question, took about a minute or so, and this other guy vanished, you know. So this happens all the time. And sometimes you get people that they bring him in front of you because they want to have or create a distraction or an argument. And because they don't, they want to get more information, but they don't know how to ask it because their clone program doesn't have that information in it. So they'll figure out some way to kind of try to push your buttons to do that. So, but anyway, if you're curious about having a handler, and if your handler or your mate or somebody in your life is there, that does happen. May not be an alien handler, but it could be something else that, you know, connecting to you, wanted to keep tabs on you. So that's kind of what we end up with. I don't get too many of these people anymore. I was at a conspiracy convention, or conference, I should say, in by San Francisco, Santa Clara. And it's still going on. I think it's every year there. This is back in, I think, 2005. 2006, I think. And so I go there, and all the presenters that were there, there's a way out of it, out of the location, and there's a door to my left, and I'm kind of near the door against the wall. And none of those presenters at that convention would come in front of me. They would go all the way across the room, you know, completely across, walk over to the wall, and quickly walk out the door. They didn't want to even get into my space. And they were doing a conspiracy conference, so kind of interesting.
Yes.
So that
okay,
was,
I guess another time you'll...
Jose
you'll,
Santa Clara.
You'll,
yes.
I guess another time you'll give us a little more information on the what do you call them? The not the handlers, the yeah, the
alien
handlers.
The
alien handlers. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a good evening. Thank
you. Okay, you too. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and normally those handlers, if they are aliens, will try to control you to get you to do different things and keep tabs on you. So if you're curious about that, just look to see who's in your life that's doing that to you. And sometimes they'll switch them off to somebody else. So I know there's people out there listening who say, yeah, I got the same type of person in my life all the time. And it's kind of weird. I lose one friend, I get another one, and they have similar characteristics or similar modalities, conscious modalities of how they're trying to keep tabs on me or something. It probably won't be too obvious at first, but that does happen. So, yeah, I love to see these agents. I'll just use that term, agents, come to see me at the booth. They normally don't want to talk to me whatsoever. They'll come and sneak into my lectures and workshops, but they really won't come up to me and shake my hand and say, Ron, I work for the so-and-so government, and it's the ABC department, one of those, you know, letter, you know, department, and we need your help. They don't do that. They just want to sneak around the bush and try to figure out what I'm doing without asking too many questions. So, but I don't get too many of those anymore, but I wouldn't mind talking to some of them, just to see what their intel is. And we'll continue on with the show, Elizabeth. Maybe somebody will see me in New York. Who knows?
Yeah, that's coming up in October at Hotel New Yorker, the 25th through the 27th. So I'll be there, so I'll be watching with you, Ron. That story about the water is really unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, where would it? You know, you know, it's just like, like, hello.
Wow. Yeah, I can't get over that one. That's, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah, you almost wish that they would come up and talk to you and make things a lot easier for everybody. So I'm getting a lot of comments in the fast chat. And it seems like people are really engaged with this topic. And also, I just wanted to add, like, it seems to me, like, from that last caller we had, there are distinctions between, you know, an alien handler is, like, someone who's trying to get you to do things according to their program, and clones, which are just, you know, running out somebody else's program, not necessarily... I guess there are just true clones and human clones, and then there's the robotic programs, which could be inside a real human and also inside a clone. So there's all these different distinctions. Very interesting. And it kind of all depends on what you might be dealing with yourself as to, you know, what they're trying to make you do or not do. So it's a good thing to be aware of. And people in the fast chat are commenting on... look at all the clones in politics, someone said, and other people are saying that it's good to hear these stories, Ron. We must be observant of others, all kinds of aliens, the Conscious Life Expo. Handlers are clones that's programmed improperly, and alien handlers want to control us for their own advantage. So... Oh, somebody is asking, how many years ago did the water story happen?
I'd say possibly, I'm guessing 3 years ago.
Okay.
That was when I was in booth 308, and I think I was there maybe one time after that, and they had two expos a year. So, but that was quite interesting to see that happen. I mean, just imagine if you had a booth and this water now is coming in front of you.
just incredible. I don't even know what to say.
Oh,
to them.
Boy, they really must not want me to catch up with this guy, you know?
Yeah, they've got your number, Ron.
Yeah, they saw me coming.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
After that, you know, the water came down, you know, and then I went to look, and he was, like, nowhere in sight, you know. I checked all the aisles and went out in the hallway, and he was, like, probably dematerialized walking around the corner, and he was gone. Up on another timeline.
Yeah, that's a total smokescreen if I've ever seen one. So interesting, Ron. And, gosh, I didn't even know. I mean, it's just so incredible. So also, if any, we have, you know, a good 10 minutes left here. So if you've had any experiences like that, call in and let us know. Maybe you, and also the, was very interesting about the guy that was watching you, and if there's anybody out there had an experience like that. So
when I saw that, I couldn't believe that they brought up somebody from the 50s.
I know.
And you know, you live back east there, and you know that people are typically more conscious. At least where I live here, it doesn't matter too much, you know, really how you're dressed too much. So I'm kind of kicked back, you know, where in the big cities you got to kind of wear your nice shoes and your nice clothes, and, you know, you stand out.
Yeah, you kind of have to be stylish.
Everybody is, like, you know, looking very, very nice. And this guy comes in, looks like his old heart put away wet, you know, like he was a horse that was put out to pasture a long time ago. And he has a little notebook.
Oh, maybe he was, like, you know, relegated to some desk job after, I don't know.
Yeah,
he, like, was in Intel, and then suddenly he was, like, I don't know, doing something else.
Yeah.
So very interesting. And I see, occasionally, I will see people like that where you just kind of do a double take. You're like, oh, my gosh, are they from a different time period? Because they're just dressed so strangely. And it's, I don't even want to say, like, you know, you can kind of tell when somebody's dressing retro or they have a retro style, but it's mixed with contemporary trends. But
I saw a guy like that. Went to a restaurant, and a guy's sitting there. And he has like, you know, he's dressed in a Western type, you know, garb. He has his white shirt on, and he has his pointed boots, maybe alligator skin or something. Looked like he was about 80 years of age. Okay, but his hands looked really, really young. And then as he was there, like fishing for people, looking around, getting people to kind of like psychically draw him to him. And each time he drew people to him, he looked younger. And after about an hour of being there, I was watching him, you know, he looked like he dropped about probably 30 to 40 years in his facial expressions, and he had all kinds of energy. So that shapeshifter in him needed to get charged up. And he would, you know, smile at people, and they'd come over, and because he was dressed different from the people around, you know, he looked like he would be like almost like a millionaire sitting there. His hands, I walked by him, and his fingernails were immaculate. And
very unusual for a guy.
Yeah. He looked like he had like doctor hands, you know, where they don't have any grease or scars or anything, and they're perfectly manicured, you know. And then he had his shiny boots on, you know, it looked like his alligator boots or something, you know, pointed toes. You know, but as he talked to more people, you know, he started like youthing and looking younger, and he didn't have much energy that you could pick up when you look at him. You can tell. Oh, that's how you tell a clone. So here we go, everybody. So how do you tell a clone? You look at him, and you first try to find a human. So remember, we're in 2013 now. In 2012, I could say, you know, just look for all these humans, and then you can maybe find a clone. Now it's the other way around. You got to look for a human who has body energy. And so, you know, scan the people. You might get maybe 10 out of 100. And then know that you're dealing with a human. And then scan the rest of the people. They won't have any body energy. They'll look like mannequins, but they're moving around. So And if you look at the new mannequins, geez, I went into a store and they had all these mannequins with no faces. That was kind of weird looking, you know? So they kind of tell us something. So back to you, Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, that is like the craziest thing when you see those faceless mannequins. It's like they have a head but no face. It's kind of different than like the dress forms. Yeah, those are always kind of weird to me. Okay, so, Ron, we have a couple of people who've written in, and this one listener has said the robotic clearing has been very effective in increasing my awareness of timelines that would be wise for me to crash. Thanks, and Sunday's intensive was very freeing. So, interesting. So, as they're doing the robotic clearing, they're becoming more aware of timelines that need to be crashed. And this other person writes, I recently heard that many people are going missing, adults and children, from national parks. Does this have anything to do with people being replaced with clones? Oh, they eventually turn up but don't know what happened to themselves. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. Could be a clone.
Yeah, yeah. It'll sound like an abduction scenario, you know. So in the old days, you know, you would say, oh, this person got abducted by a UFO or something, you know. As far as that type of abduction, as far as somebody stealing them and returning them, you know that's not the case, you know. So, yeah, now they just vanish. Maybe they go out on a walk, they vanish for a day or two, and then maybe what comes back is a clone. And or maybe they just used, you know, sperm and eggs or whatever, or part of their body, you know, hair or whatever, blood, you know, placenta, whatever, you know, would be there. Depending on, you know, the state of the person, the woman will say with that maybe having a baby and they want to get some of that energy out of it. But typically what they're going to do is strictly probably take a person, either clone them or make new clones of them. So, you know, I have seen in the underground high-level people, can't say who or what, but... I would say going back to at least the 60s, people that you've seen or know about, and they're like on a cult rack. So I would see this cult rack with maybe a dozen to 20 of this person dressed up, same suit, same tie or whatever, same lady with the same hairdo, identical. And you push a button and they all move their arm up and down and come down again. And you hit another button, we'll say, you know, on the control board, and they would move their head back and forth. So they're all in unison. And then these people will get popped up here. The original person that may have been here is probably living somewhere else in the underground, having a wonderful time. Maybe living in that area, maybe in Wyoming or wherever in those states there around Wyoming, where I think there's probably, you know, the rainforest and the beautiful country, as opposed to being like in the desert or just a place that you wouldn't really want to live, you know. So, and I think those places probably are where they have these beautiful places for the elite to go into, and it's on a different timeline. So they probably took the Earth. So if you live in a place where it's real beautiful, you know, mountainsides and a lot of birds and stuff, and maybe that's like what's out there, and they just happen to copy and paste a timeline in there that makes everybody see this as... a place that nobody would even want to live because there's nothing there. It's kind of like driving across country and you see a sign, you know, next town's 100 miles, you know. Make sure you have gas. and so you go, uh-oh, you know, and that's, you're driving through, you know, a place that nobody is even living. Well, maybe there are people living there. You just happen to be on the hologram driving for 100 miles, not realizing that all around you is a beautiful earthly experience and trees and birdies and, you know, maybe waterfalls and everything else, but you don't know that. So that's probably where these people are that, you know, I saw the robotics of them moving on coat racks, so I'll call it. That's how they kind of look like they're positioned, like on a rack, and their feet were dangling, so that's why I used the word a coat rack. But I've seen many, many high-level people that way there. And that's been, geez, probably 5 years ago or so. So anyway, kind of the more you know, you just realize that, yeah, we're here and make the best of it, you know. I'd like to be out of here yesterday. So back to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's really true. And somebody commented on the fast chat a while back that the aliens program the clones to refuse to understand or cooperate with a human, which is probably true. At least that's the way it seems to me. And there's a couple other comments here.
So that's your homework, everybody. So have a week to go out and look at clones, take your notes, and we'll talk about it on our next Monday show.
Yeah, take notes, everybody. I find that I have to because it's I notice things so much more now. And, you know, I'll be in an airport or on a train or something, and I'll be like, oh, I'll make a note of it, and usually I just have my phone, so I'll, like, type it into my phone. But if you have a notebook, I mean, that'll work too, or a journal or something. But yeah, it's kind of like one of those, the more you know, the less you, I don't know what, but you know, it's like, it's not anything to be scared of. It's just, I find it very fascinating, and to have all this information that Ron gives us every week too, it's like, you know, put it to your advantage, and become more observant of the world around you. It can really help you out. So, Ron, I think we have time for maybe one more question. And somebody is asking, do the Sentinel humans living in the inner Earth have the same issues as us living on the surface? Examples, clones, shapeshifters, alien transmissions.
Well, there's more than one location, and there's more than one type of cities. That's what I perceive, okay? So it's not as if they're all underground living in harmony with each other, you know, like in a state that you live in. No, these are all different locations, different people, maybe different humans live in different locations. I've seen underground, like large shopping centers. A lot of the artists that have more recently died, we'll say, maybe from the 40s on, actors, etc., are down there performing, and they don't age, okay? So I won't give any names, but there's a gentleman that was... blue suede shoes. I think he sang that song, and then you have you know, all these other artists out there. You know, a lady named Marilyn, and they're all probably living down there, and you know, that's just the way it is. And they're having a great time. They don't have any issues because everybody. There's really nothing to my knowledge to see there as far as they may have a card possibly, but. As far as like a credit card, but I think most of them, once they're down there, everything is free. So you already earned your dues, and you're down there, and you just live, and you perform, do what you want to do. And you're not dealing with an age process. So that's kind of what's going on. And, you know, there are aliens living down there just like humans are, like you're living here on the surface. And it all depends what location you go to. As to if the aliens are going to be living as your neighbor or not. I think typically everything's kind of isolated. And then there's also ones that we actually go out and battle where they're living, causing harm, you know, and I talk about that off and on. And that's where almost all of the missing people are joined together in their camps. I'll just keep it kind of... gentle here, just like we do to cows when they want to herd them up, you know. And so that's where the missing people are going. So whenever I see, like, walking into Walmart and they have all the pictures of the people on the walls looking for them, I go, yeah, uh-huh. So, anyway, it's kind of negative from here, so it's... But that's what's happening here. there's so much that more than you'd ever believe is happening. So just live your life up here and try to enjoy life, and if you can. And just know that if you were down there, it'd be a hell of a lot better than what it is here. And maybe somehow something will shift where we can see some of those new areas where you're living that might be beautiful, where they drop in the real lightship timeline where the Earth is pristine and beautiful, as opposed to a timeline that they dropped in for like 100 miles of desolation, you know, where you have to have the poor rabbit, because it's so desolate, have a little tin can around his neck, you know, so he can have some water, you know. So back to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's really true, and I notice like a lot of things that that used to seem really beautiful and more, you know, clear and vibrant seem a lot more dull and clouded and just different seeming. I can't really put my finger on it, but we're actually going to have to wrap up the show, Ron. It went by so quickly, and I know you have another radio show coming up right after this, so if you would like to jump over to that, you can find it on creationlightship.com. Should also mention that the four-hour monthly Ascension preparation calls coming up on October 5th, and the new 8-hour healing intensive start on October 6th, and then the 13th and the 27th, so that's three consecutive Sundays. Ron's also doing the weekly calls on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. You can find out more about those calls at creationlightship.com. So, Ron, I'll just say goodnight and thank you again for such a wonderful show. And thanks, everybody, for calling and writing in comments and questions. And, yeah, let us know next week if you take notes about any clones or robotic programs that you observe. So, Ron, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you so much, Ron.
Okay, I got to run. So we'll see you later, everybody. Blessings, and have a wonderful evening. Bye, everybody.